Welcome to our podcast,
Band BFFs,
the podcast where we make your music selection less complicated.
In the next few episodes, we're going to have another special for you. This one is going to be on winter concert music programs that could be chosen for your awesome bands. We are going to have different episodes ranging from easier music all the way to more difficult. And today's episode will start us off with the easier pieces. And they are entitled Holiday Rock by Chris Bernotas, Diary of a Grumpy Elf by Timothy Loest, An African Bell Carol arranged by Robert W. Smith. Cheers to starting the conversation.
All right, Holiday Rock. This is such a great piece. I love how it's written out. It is about 2 minutes in length if you play it at a pretty brisk tempo. It has very, very simply written parts. This could be something you could even do with a beginner band or a really young group. There are no eighth notes in it. It has a 6-note range for all instrument parts. Very, very playable. No dotted half notes at all.
It even has a flex band capability.
That's right. It's not a true flex band piece, but it's arranged in a way that you can absolutely play with the instrumentation. So it can fit any group.
It's also really cool because in the percussion parts, there's a drum set part, which you can probably play on a drum set or separate it out. But of course, that makes it more fun for the kids because it just sounds really fun for the concerts.
This is a medley, so it's a combination of several different popular tunes, and I like that even though, like, there's not a single eighth note in this piece at all, but one of the things I like about it, even though it's very simply written, it's melodies that the students and the audience will recognize, and they are not so watered down that you can't tell what it is.
Yes.
So I think it's very smartly written.
So at the beginning, it starts off with Angels We Have Heard on High, and well, there's like an introduction, and then it's Angels We Have Heard on High. There also isn't a key signature at the beginning, and instead all the accidentals are written into the parts, so that's something also for younger bands. The trumpets typically have the melody followed by low brass or woodwinds and trumpets, but it's nice because the low voices also get the melody, and it's not only in the upper parts. They do have more of a simple, like, 1-3-1 at times, but they do get their moments of glory, which I think is important for our, you know, budding low brass children.
I also really like that this is written, it's very kind of chunked into these sections where there's not any one instrument besides percussion that is playing for like 30 measures at a time. They always get a little bit of a break. So if you are dealing with a beginner group and endurance is an issue, it's built in to help you with that.
Yes. The French horn part does go up to an upper C in this first medley, but if you wanted to flex band it and move it to the fourth part, which is with the low people, you could do that, or you could, of course, just have them take the C down an octave or whatever if you do end up playing this with a beginner group and they're not quite there yet range-wise in your band. Then at 17, we have God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen as the melodic feature. And as Laura mentioned, there's not even a dotted half note. It's a half note tied to a quarter note. So they probably have learned about ties by this point. And this is written so that if you haven't talked about dotted quarter notes, then you don't necessarily
have to worry about it.
So just very typical and upfront on that one. And the low brass get a lot of the melody. But again, it is passed back and forth between lows and highs. Then there's Deck the Halls, and again, it's a tied half note to a quarter note, lots of upper woodwind melody, followed by the low brass melody. It's very back and forth and playable and very 2D most of the time. It continues on until you get to the dreidel song, which of course is something that everybody will recognize. And there's no style markings either. Everything is just very connected how you would want to teach students to play.
And the thing that I like about that is, you know, I always think it is, we do a disservice to students when there are style markings on the page and they aren't ready to play them and we teach them to ignore them because we're just training them to ignore, you know, those in the future. But this, you don't have to tell them. They're not ignoring anything. There are no style markings.
Yep. And then we have Jingle Bells after that. And of course, that's very playable. And it's back and forth, four measures of upper woodwind and trumpet melody, four measures of low melody.
And I do like every time the low voices have a chance to shine, almost every time they have the melody, they're by themselves.
Right. There Everybody isn't, else isn't playing yeah. whole notes on top of them and covering yep. them up. It's written in a way where they can shine.
They truly do get their moment to shine.
Yes. And that's it. It's a great little piece, very easy to put together, and would be wonderful for training up a younger group. Our second piece is Diary of a Grumpy Elf by Timothy Loest. And this piece is super cute. It is so much fun to play with your students.
It is about 3.5 minutes in length. Now, don't let that scare you. That includes an optional narrator part. The narrator part is really what I think makes this cute.
It's
because
adorable.
It is diary entries from a grumpy elf in Santa's workshop. So, you know, it helps to tie everything together. But that, the narration never takes place on top of the music. The music is, it has these little interludes, and then the diary, the narration is read in between all of those. So it's 3.5 minutes when you add the narration. It's in the key of concert B flat, though some of these are in minor mode just because yep. the elf is grumpy. We do have more.
It goes into 3-4 at the end.
Yes,
one time.
Yes. One little section of 3-4 at the end, and lots of transitions in mm-hmm. this, but again, they're broken up by the narration, which I think makes that these transitions a little easier.
This is great for a younger band because you can talk about things like ritardandos and fermata is and how you look up and start together after a pause, because of course the band has to come back in after each narration. So it's a great teaching piece overall. Not a lot of percussion either, so it's pretty easy. You know, it's got sleigh bells and crash cymbals, cowbell, things like that, but you could easily play this piece with 3 or 4 students, or even less if you had to.
And if you have lots of percussionists, you can double up on marimba, yep. vibraphone, lots of keyboard doubling you could do.
So it starts off with just a little interlude, and then the grumpy elf talks about being upset about something, and then it's Jolly Old St. Nicholas in a minor key. The rhythms are very easy, quarter notes, some eighth notes, easy percussion. Then the band gets to say, ho, 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 humbug, or whatever. So they think that's really fun. It's got just a couple accents in that section. Then the next narration. After that, it's a march-like. So you get to teach different styles of music even within this piece.
We then there's some staccatos. Yep, staccatos in this. This is like
trumpets have the melody.
March of the wooden soldiers. Here, back yep. and forth between, there's a little, instead of it all being 2D, there's like a little conversation where we get a little counter melody in the upper woodwind. So it is a little bit more complex than what we saw in the previous piece.
Yep. There's another ritardando followed by a fermata. Then this is cute.
I think it's
like,
so cute.
It's like little rocket
bombs. It sounds
bombs
like fireworks.
Going off. Yeah. So all the kids get to whistle at random, and then the bass drum just gets to hit randomly in different spots of the bass drum to make it sound like, you know,
fireworks
going
exploding.
Off. Yes. It's very, very cute. Then another narration, and then we have, he's very disgruntled and upset at this point. And so we have Deck the Halls melody, but it also has Song of the Volga Boatmen underneath it. So it's got like this very like sad feel to it. And it's got, for the first time, dotted
quarter
eighth note rhythms. So it's progressively getting more difficult in rhythm, but it's not horrible. And it's adding little styles at a time, but not multiple. So in this one, it only has staccatos or no style markings indicated other than slurs.
And it's almost like each of these little segmented pieces is like learning a line out of a method book,
yeah.
right? You can treat them as their own individual ideas because you're starting and stopping each of them on their own between the narration. So, I mean, it really is only like learning a long line out of a method
yep.
book.
Then we have another narration followed by Jingle Bells, and it's more bright and exciting. Low brass gets the melody again, and then and we have a fun little glissando for the trombones. Another narration, and it's We Wish You a Merry Christmas. This is the first time it goes into 3-4. No key change, but just a time signature change.
And it stays in 3-4 all the way
to the
end. To the
end.
Here, yeah.
So this piece is fun because it gets a chance to teach the students lots of different ways of going about reading music and starting and stopping. And it's kind of like the old sight reading pieces, right? Like you're getting different time signatures, different modes of music, different styles. So
I think it's great for introducing transitions in music because none of the transitions are complicated because you get to start and stop at every one of them. So you're not having to worry about holding a fermata and then coming in on a phrase afterwards. Like, so it's a great introduction to transitions in music.
And our last piece is African Bell Carol. This is obviously very famous, and there are so many versions of this out there. But this
there's
is
like
one,
a Latin Bell Carol. Yeah, there's I mean, so it's, many. It's all the same. Really, all that changes is the percussion instrumentation. That's
but
it.
I love this piece. In fact, we play it every single year on our elementary tour, and when we go play at different places during the holiday season, because you can put as many kids on percussion as you want. It's got that cool flavor to it. It's pretty easy and it's well written, where when you have the melody, you get to be pretty important.
And very, very repetitive. That's the other thing. So again, so it's like you teach these chunks of music and then it comes back and repeats itself several times. So it's super fast in 3/4 in the key of concert B flat. The faster you can play it, the better. But really, obviously, only as fast as your kids can play it successfully. And you need every bit of percussion equipment that is there in order to make this really effective and really cool.
And again, another reason why it's so fun is there are like lots of different shaker and djembe and all kinds of cool musical instruments the kids don't always get exposed to. So the more you can add in different things and different pitches in the percussion, that's even cooler. I will double up on the congas part every time I play it too, because it's it's like louder and just really fun. And even one year, it was really cool. I gave the one little part to some of the fifth graders in advance, and they learned it, and then they joined us and they played it with us when we came to the elementary tour.
Oh, that's
really
cool.
So that's
really
a fun little just like idea you could do, because it's not difficult rhythmically to where a fifth grader couldn't learn it.
And if your percussion section is strong, every time I play this piece, if it's a really solid percussion section, I stage the people on that percussion at the front.
Yep.
And you can even kind of do them antiphonally on both sides of the stage, because there's a soloistic part in the piece where they're kind of going back and forth. You can do a little trading fours with them on opposite sides of the stage, but your percussionists get stuck in the back of the band all the time and never get seen. So anytime you can do something that can feature them, you know, I think it's a cool opportunity.
The whole piece starts off with percussion for 8 measures, and this piece is great because it's in 8 measure chunks. Mm-hmm. So you have like a new voice come in every 8 measures. It's easy for kids to know where the voices come into. Flutes come in at 9, followed by a little counter melody and clarinet 4 measures later. Then at 17, we get the oboe harmony in there. We add in a few more woodwinds on the counter melody. At 25, we add in the saxophone on the melody. And then we get more voices in, but still no brass yet.
Yeah, your brass have been resting this whole time. The trickiest part of this whole piece, I believe, are the 4 measures, the second half of 25. So starting at 29, the 1 and 2 and 3 and 1 and 2, 3.
Because of the speed.
Of the speed, that's it. But once your kids get that under their fingers, the rest of this
just
goes together.
Notes. Yep,
super simply.
At 33, the brass come in for the first time, and we get this cool little like horn and euphonium and tenor sax counter melody. With the regular melody still on the top, we get to do some crescendo decrescendos too, which is fun because it's not anything terribly difficult, but the whole band does it, kind of sounds like a swelling. At 41, we now get the alto and horn gets the counter melody part.
This is my favorite part of the
whole piece.
I
love it too,
like,
yes.
Let your horns play.
Go crazy,
the range is not difficult.
It goes up to a D, I think, and that's the highest note. Yeah.
So if you've got strong horns, man, let them play. Yep. Let them play on this.
Then at 49, kind of the same thing, except now we get these cool like little interjections from the low brass on beat 2 with accents, kind of like little bell tones.
Trumpet range goes up to an E, the first trumpet part. So you want to make sure that you've got the players for that, or at least a player that can sound good.
At 57, we get a cool part again in the horn, euphonium, sax, alto part. It just sounds really awesome, and the kids love it. And again, like Laura said, let those horns go for it. They go up to an F there.
And the, yeah. And I mean, this is something I've had my horns in this section. I have rewritten this down an octave for them.
Yep.
You know, they're doubling another conical brass instrument in the euphonium. So if the euphoniums can play that and play out and be really strong, you're still going to get the projection you need.
Then at 65, everybody's got accents, and it's like the biggest moment so far in the piece. We all end together. Then it's a percussion groove. Like Laura said, it's like back and forth between congas and I think toms, and they go back and forth on this cool part here.
And listen, and you can, like, this can be as long as you want it or exactly the length of time that's written. Kind of, he leaves that flexibility there. So let your kids have some fun with this. If they can play it really well, they do not have to play the solos that are written. Mm-hmm. They can kind of improv and do their own thing, which I think is another great thing to expose them to. As long as we all get right back together at measure 87.
Yes.
That was my deal with everybody. 89. Well, oh, 87, you mean, yeah, the two measures into it. Yeah.
Yep.
As long as all the percussion land together, you kind of have a cue or whatever to give them that this is how you know we're landing at 87, and then the rest is smooth sailing.
And then there's just 8 measures to the end. So it's very powerful, exciting. When we've played this at concerts, like the audience loves this piece because it's just got a lot of excitement.
It is a big crowd pleaser. And again, so even though it is one of the easier pieces, range is something to consider for some of your brass players, but you just need a couple of hot shots that can play with that range or take it down an octave because it's doubled in upper woodwinds too.
So. Well, we hope you found a piece from our easy holiday tunes that for your winter concert that could help your band.
Thank you so much for joining us on this episode of Band BFFs.